So,
yeah.
Can I just pray for Lisa? Okay, please. May I pray for her?
Go on, Mike.
Go on, Mike.
Okay.
Come on this side, sorry. Yeah, no, I just wanted to also share, what I didn't tell you was, during the prayer time this morning, I saw you literally with your hands, you had your hands out like this, and you were literally dripping with oil. There was oil, like drip, 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 drip. And I know that's for us, yay! It's so exciting. So, yeah, so Lord, I just want to thank you for that. Lord, I just want to also thank you so much for Lisa, that she's was willing to come and give of herself for us, Lord. Give of herself for you first, that her heart is postured in submission to you, that whatever you tell her to do, she will do. It's a yes and amen in her heart to do whatever you tell her to do. So, Lord, I thank you that she is prepared. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you have shared with her what you want her to share today. And Lord, I pray, God, as she's speaking, Lord, that the words that come out of her mouth will be your words, that they will not be hers alone, but that they will be the words that you want to speak through her. So Holy Spirit, have your way. And Lord, we say yes and amen to the oil of your Holy Spirit that will come and minister to hearts. I just see hearts being healed and broken hearts that knit back together and that massaged. I just see the Lord massaging hearts with oil, like a massage therapist would do to the body. It's what the Lord is doing to hearts. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're going to use Lisa today. I want to thank you in advance that you will use her today to minister to hearts, to bring people closer to Jesus, Lord, that we will reflect your Son. So, Lord, I thank you that she is the hands and feet of Jesus. And so we bless her today as she ministers the heart of the Father into all of us. I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive, that we would receive everything that you're saying through this vessel, God. And we just bless her in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Love you.
Nancy, love you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. It is always a pleasure and an honor to be in the house of the gathering place with Byron and Nancy, who are just awesome, as you guys can tell. They're just amazing. And Jonathan and Cal, all of the leadership, all of you guys. But yes, I love you guys. So I and as Nancy was saying, that, and actually this morning when we were praying as well, that so before, what I was praying about was the oil. I've been praying about the oil of the Holy Spirit. And just that, because that's truly what we all, that's truly what it's about, right? And so this morning, and Nancy didn't know that, but this morning we were praying over there, and she started praying and saying, the oil, and seeing the oil. And then, so I know and believe that, yeah, the oil of the Holy Spirit is being released. And the rivers, the infinite source of the rivers of water. So yes, I agree with every prayer that's been spoken, and I just thank you. I thank you for this opportunity. And Father God, we come before you honored. We come before you humbly. And we come before you and thank you that Holy Spirit has searched your heart for this morning, has searched your heart for the gathering place, and has searched your heart and has put the words from your heart onto my tongue. And that I will simply release the words, your heart, your thoughts, your mind for every person here, and your heart and your thoughts and your words will meet and pierce every heart right where they're at. And so I just thank you for that. So good morning. I asked the Holy Spirit, so what is it that you have for the gathering place this morning? And so this is what he got. This is what I got. And the topic, what I'll be talking about today, is on perspective is everything. And especially when we're claiming and reclaiming the territory, right? Reclaiming the territory that God has called us to reclaim, reclaiming the land. So I want to start with Luke 4:18. And actually, I'm here too. So Luke 4:18. And Luke 4:18 is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord. Because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives, for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. Because see, when we're, so again, recovery of sight to the blind, perspective is everything. When we are reclaiming territory and land, we do need to recover sight, the vision, and perspective, and that's what I'll be talking about today. I'm going to start with a question for you, and the question that I'm going to start with is, what is the land, what's the territory that God's calling you to reclaim? What is the land? The only ministry that's mentioned in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 5:11, is the ministry of reconciliation. We are the ones who are called to reconcile. To reconcile everything, every area, heart, souls, back to God. We're called to reconcile it all back to him. And so it is important that we know, or that we're aware of what he's calling us, who he's calling us to reconcile. So I asked you that question, and I'm not asking it even just as a rhetorical question. In other words, a question that you don't answer. But I'm asking you, what is the land? Is it your own heart? Right now in this season, is it your heart that he's asking you to reclaim? Is it your emotions? Has there been fear, anxiety, anger, or hatred? Unforgiveness or bitterness? Has there been grief? And is he saying, reclaim? I want to reclaim that. Has there been guilt or shame? So is it you? Is it your own heart? It always starts with us, right? Is it relationships that he's saying, this is the land before you. I'm calling you to reclaim that territory. Your marriage. Your children. Is it your purpose? Is it coworkers that he's saying, I want you to reclaim that land? Is it your past? Have you been stuck in regret? Regret from the past that you can't change. We can never make a better past. But except it can be redeemed. He can redeem. But is it the past? Is that the better the land that he's saying, I'm calling you to redeem this territory, this land, the relationships. Is it your health? Is it your health? Is he, have there been reports or are there areas of your health that aren't lining up with victory and with what you know, with the promises that he said? Is it your health? Is he saying, yes, I want to redeem your health? I'm calling you because it is all about partnership with him, right? It's not about us waiting, sitting back for him to do it all. It's about us, but we'll get to that. Is it your finances? Do finances look bleak? Do they look overwhelming? Are you dealing with poverty or lack? Fear around that? Is that what he's calling you to redeem? Is that the land that he's calling you to claim? Or is it something even bigger? Is it nations in Psalm 2? In Psalm 2, he says, right, ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Is he calling, is it something bigger than you? Is it your neighborhood? Is it a nation? Is it your church? Or the church? Is that the land? So that he's saying, I'm calling you to reclaim this territory and to reconcile it back to me. So one of the areas that he's recently been calling me to is identity. And he's saying, I want to partner with you in reclaiming. And it always starts with us, but then also inviting others. And so he's several of my friends here are on this identity journey with me. And so we meet and we talk about and discover identity in Christ and how to be deeply anchored into that. Because as individuals and as a body, the church, our identity in Christ is very important. And so he's sending us, he's calling us to be redeemed and redeem identity in ourselves in Christ, and then identity in the body, so that we can be that for the world, because, and so that instead of the church being influenced by the world and by the culture, the culture and the world would be influenced by the church, right? And would change the atmosphere. So then we as the church would change the atmosphere of the world instead of it being the other way. So I pause for a minute and I just ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to invite you, each of you in your heart. What is the territory, Holy Spirit? I invite you to ask that you are calling me to reclaim, that you're calling me to reconcile to you. God, just take a couple minutes and ask him that. How many heard something? Don't be shy to raise. I won't call on you. It's okay. Good, good. So that's what he's calling you to reconcile and redeem. And he, all of us, this is not a spectator sport. And so one thing that I can guarantee is whatever it is that he's calling us to redeem or to reclaim, whatever territory he's calling us to reclaim or to redeem, it requires a much larger perspective than what we have. It's bigger. It requires a perspective that's outside of our tent, outside of our mind, right? It requires us to adopt his mind and his view. So perspective, first I want to talk about perspective and what it means. And the dictionary, and I looked up in the dictionary, it defines it as the way you see something. Perspective. And the Latin root is look through or perceive. All of the meanings of perspective have to do with looking at something. Right? They have to do with looking at something. So it's about seeing. So first we must ask, though, what are we looking at? And how are we looking at that? What are we using? What do you use to look at things? How do we do that? How many would agree that there's more than one perspective? Right? There's always many perspectives, and which is why you can have two different people in the same situation, but with completely different perspectives. That's different seeing. And we can either use the seeing of our natural, right? Or that's the seeing that was turned on in the garden after Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The seeing with the natural eyes was turned on. But before that, there was the seeing of the spirit realm, right? The seeing of the tree of life. It was life. We can see, we can use our natural eyes to see what's in front of us. We can use our spiritual eyes. We can use our eyes, or we can use our heart to see. We can use heaven's perspective, or we can use the earth perspective. We can use limitation, which, you know, the earth perspective is limitation. Or we can use the infinite, unlimited, impossible perspective of heaven to view and to look at and to perceive every situation before us. We do get to choose. And our decision is very important. And we'll walk through. I'll give a quick example from my personal life, and then I'll go through and share a biblical example. But so there's two worlds, right? There's always two worlds. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the light, right? The kingdom of heaven. And there's always these two opposing forces, right, that we're walking in this realm and navigating. And although we have physical bodies and we're interacting with this realm in our physical bodies, we are not to interact with or to see this from that perspective. We are to live and navigate in our physical body from the heavenly perspective, right? He says, you are ambassadors of what? Right, yeah, of reconciliation and of Christ, right? We're ambassadors. So we are to see, to bring heaven, in order to bring heaven to earth, when an ambassador goes to another country and they're going into that, they don't go and adopt that culture. They bring what theirs, right? They bring their culture to that place. That's what we're called to do, but we can't do that if they go in and they only look around and they only see and interact with what is present, what's visibly present, then they can't bring anything new there. Okay? So we are called to be that. So when one of my sisters a few years back was actually in the hospital and was really looked from my natural eyes to be was facing death, and doctors were speaking that over her and were saying, oh gosh, it's not looking good, and I don't think she'll get out of here, and even if she does, she won't walk, and just looking again, right, it looked bleak. Just looking at, she was connected to machines and was in and out of consciousness and couldn't eat food, had tubes for feeding, and really looked bleak, okay, with our natural eyes. Now, although, yes, I saw that and looked at that, and yes, when I just looked at her from that perspective, it felt scary. Because it was the thought of losing her to this realm. Then the Holy Spirit invited me into another, and he said, no, you know, choose something else. You can look at that, but you don't have to choose that. And so I said, and so then I chose. So then when the doctors would speak and would share, oh, yeah, it's not looking good. Oh, yeah, I don't think so. And I said, oh, no. My sister will, she'll get out of here. She will get up and she'll be walking. And you know what? I'm actually really glad that you're her doctor, because I know that you're the best, because God told me that only the best would be working on my sister. And so thank you. And we just kept in. And then a little later, he gave me a dream. And in my dream, she was in the dreams again. Sometimes he'll give us dreams sometimes to just show us his view. Right? This view, I knew when I had this dream, I knew this was his view. Even though while in the natural, she was still in the hospital, she was still in that place. But in this dream, we were walking. She was fine, and she said, does Mom know I'm better yet? And he said, no. Well, guess what? Yeah, she did. She got better. They didn't know. They couldn't explain why. They said, we don't know what happened. All of a sudden, we went there. We went to the hospital one day. They go, she was up today, and she's fine. And we said, well, we know what happened. And she did. She left the hospital, and she walks, and she was fine. Praise God. Yes, the glory to God. But again, that's a vision, looking at, not that we could not in that situation look at just the physical, natural realm. We had to and look at and speak. Proverbs 23:7, so I want to go into that. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, as he thinks within himself, so is he. And eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. But, and then Proverbs 4:23, because I want to let you know that we live in our lives around us. There's two options of how to live, okay? Peace is not the world out there being perfect. Peace is in here, right? And he who's in us being reconciling and knowing that out there doesn't control in here, but in here influences out there, right? And so knowing that what we see out there actually is a reflection of all of us, our hearts. And so the best way to change out there is to change the atmosphere in here, our hearts. And this is exactly what this is saying. And then Proverbs, then the Bible has been telling us this. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. life, whether it's our personal life or the life out there, it's a reflection of what's in our hearts. And that's because of God's loving kindness. And so we've been, research has thought, many times researchers have thought that the brain actually controls everything. But you know, there's been 40 years of research that shows that actually the heart sends more signals to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. So the heart, and the heart, the signals that the heart is sending to the brain actually influence things like our memory and our problem solving and concentration. So it's actually the heart that's actually influencing the brain. And actually, they've also measured our heart. They've measured, now that they have these devices, that they can actually measure up to, I think, 12 to 15 feet. And they could, the heart, what's in the heart is measured and extends out. So what's in my heart will impact further out than just me. And what's in your heart. And so our hearts impact the atmosphere wherever we go. Right? So that's why he says, guard your heart. Also, our heart is what determines what and who we attract. And that's, so the world says the law of attraction, but all the law of attraction is the law of sowing and reaping. Right? So the heart, the heart is actually where we perceive. That's where perceptions start. That's where emotions and thoughts actually impact. So do you know that the heart rhythm is actually impacted by our emotions and by thoughts? If thoughts, see, God did not design us to, he did not design our bodies to be able to manage a bunch of negative thoughts. And so a lot of times when there's even, you know, these arrhythmias and things, these are just symptoms of thoughts that are not in alignment with the thoughts of God. Okay? And so coherent, there's coherence and incoherence when it comes to our heartbeats and when they measure heart rates. Well, so the erratic heartbeats and incoherence are actually reflective of thoughts and emotions that are erratic, okay, and unstable. So perception is everything. Even, again, observer effects. We'll go to science. Observer effects. Many are aware of observer effects. Okay, so Cal is. And basically, what observer effects are, what happens in science is the scientist who's observing the experiment and what they believe actually impacts the outcomes of the experiment. So the outcome of the experiment, in other words, changes depending on the belief of the observer. Well, isn't that life? That the observer, we're observers. So we don't go, when we know that we're observers and we know the power of our heart and our observation and our beliefs, we don't have to go change out there. We change in here, and just by relationship and partnership with the Holy Spirit, abiding in Him and Him, and we just show up. And it changes. We show up as the observer, and people's behavior changes. We show up as the observer, relationships change. We show up as the observer who's observing faith and belief and hope, the observer who's believing what God's word says. We show up as the observer, health, conditions, diagnoses change.
Yes.
right? Peter, people were healed by his shadow. That's the observer. That's the power of the observer who knows and who shows up with the mind of Christ, knowing that we're hosting the presence of the Holy Spirit. I did some of my research on how teacher expectations impact student achievement. Teachers are as the observer. Guess what? Yes, clinically significant. The expectations that teachers had, whether they expressed them verbally or not, impact the achievement of their students. That's why different students can go into different classrooms and can perform differently depending on, right, the teacher. Same thing with parents. So believing is important, and it impacts what shows up. It's not what shows up that's controlling us. It's what we believe about what will show up, about what has shown up, about what is showing up, that actually impacts what's there. And so when we know that and when we understand that, then we're no longer just bystanders. We're no longer defeated. We're living, we go from feeling or living defeated or being pessimist to being optimist, from defeat to victory, from hopelessness to hope, from limitations to unlimited, to finite to infinite, from earth to heaven. Mark 11:23-24 tells us this. It confirms this. It says, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And then, of course, the next verse, it talks about it. It's not up there, but it talks about and forgiveness, right? And forgive. That is an important part, but in addition to that, so believe the heart, but does not doubt in his heart. Again, the heart. But believes that what we say, that it will be done. Our beliefs are powerful. We cannot deny that. And that's not about guilt, but it is about responsibility. So it's not about blame, but it is about responsibility. Belief. Belief impacts what we see. What we believe impacts what we see, our vision. Belief impacts perception. Proverbs 29, I believe that's the next one, 18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Revelation has everything to do with what we see. It has nothing to do with what we're seeing and interacting with here, but revelation is what we get from God. That's the vision that we get. That's the hearing. We hear something from God, and we choose whether to believe it. And then when we choose to believe what we've heard from him, then that impacts our vision, our seeing. It may not right away change what's in front of us, what we're seeing. But if we choose to say, I believe, yes, I believe, then the seeing, the perceiving changes. Through belief. Through the revelation. So, but where there's no revelation, when people can't see, when we can't see something different than what we're seeing here, that's the cause of rebellion. People cast off restraint because hopelessness actually causes rebellion. It's, no, I can't see anything better. This is dreadful. This is hopeless. I'm not going along with this program. It's the hopelessness. But when we have a revelation of something better, that there is something more than we know. So the key, so how? How do we get that revelation? How do we, and it is actually through, it comes through something that God created as powerful. It came through our imagination, our spirit. You know, our spirit is tied with that. And yes, you know, our imagination can be used for evil. Of course, anything that God gives us. But it comes from, but the divinely inspired imagination through our spirit. I know Tammy here gets visions, right? And when you share your visions, right? I know that Abel just mentioned recently how you shared a vision. When you share your vision, that's the divinely inspired, right? That's from him. But in faith, it takes faith for you to say, yes, I received this, and I believe, I know I received this, and then to release it. And then it blesses your husband, and it blesses anyone who you share it with, right? Because any revelation or vision or different that we get from him, and we release it here, it's going to be blessed into this atmosphere, and it's going to shift our seeing. That's... So imagination, it's the womb. It's the spiritual womb conceiving, right? It's where Genesis 11. So we'll go to, Genesis 11. He says, the Lord said, when he saw his people, they were building, they had gone into idolatry. They were building for themselves, right? But he knew still, he said, if as one people speaking the same language has begun to do this, then nothing, and in some version it says, nothing they imagine. So where it says nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them, he said, nothing they imagine will be impossible because they were in unity, but it was in their imagination. Up here. He said, if they have begun, yeah. So nothing that they imagine will be impossible for them. So that's just one. But then also notice that whenever God was about to do something, whenever he had a plan, he did we have what's called show and tell, right? But he did a tell and show. Right, so he would with Abram. So let's go to Abram before he did Abram to Abraham. And this is Genesis, 13. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had departed from him, "Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes." What was he saying? Look, I want you to see something different than what's here. Yeah. Lift up your eyes. Restore the vision. I want to restore your vision. This was when Abram, he didn't have any descendants. He would say, well, no, I don't have any descendants. You have to live. He says, no. That's what's down here. But lift up your eyes to see what I want to show you. Whatever it is, the territory that he's called you to claim, don't look here. He's saying, lift up your eyes, Jeannie. Lift up your eyes. I have something more I want to show you, Tammy. From where you are, and look north and south, east and west. And I'm going to read it more. Lift up your eyes. And then he showed him. He said, as far as you can see, in every direction is the land that I will give to you forever, to you and your seed. As far as you can see, that's the next verse. As far as you can see, in every direction is the land that I will give to you forever, to you and your seed. I will multiply them until they are as numerous as the specks of dust on the earth. If anyone could count the dust of the earth, then your offspring could also be counted. Now get up and walk through the land, its length and its breadth. All the land you walk upon will be my gift to you. Now the walking was, whenever God releases and he says, oh, this is what I have for you, then he says, now you walk in it, right? Remember, faith without works is dead. So it's like then Abraham had to get up. So first he had to lift up, have his vision restored to what God was doing, not to what he was seeing. And then he said, now get up and walk. Wherever you walk, wherever you tread your feet, and however far you can see, that's what is yours. We have to see it. That's in the perceiving. That's in the believing. Then it's ours. But we can also choose. Abraham could have said, nah, I don't believe that. I don't believe you, God. Come on. I'm 90-something years old. What? Right. Because he could have done that, right? And then, so there is a choice involved. Then also with the covenant, right? The next one, Genesis 15. He took him outside. He took Abraham when he was given the covenant. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens. And in some version it says he took him outside and amplified it, took him outside of his tent. Now again, the symbolic outside of his tent, outside of his physical body, outside of his own limitations, his own limited view. And then he said, okay, now you have to move. You have to come out here, outside of that comfort area, right, in order to see this. And he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. He told and showed. Look. I want you to look. So he's inviting each of us. He's saying, look up. Look. Look at what else. Look what I have for you beyond the limited view that you might be seeing. Will you agree with me? Will you make a decision? Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Perspective is a part. Now, before we see it, it's in our spirit, but that's connected with our imagination, with our divinely inspired, right? So we can't always choose what we're seeing in this realm, but we can choose what we're looking at, right? Even at the beginning with creation, when God, and we were created in his image, when he came, and it was chaos, right? There was chaos. He looked at one thing and he saw something else. It was darkness. It was chaos. And he said, he didn't say, oh my gosh, that's so dark. What a mess. Right? Like, oh my, how am I going to do, what the heck, what am I going to do with this? No, he said, be light. Separate the borders, water, the land. He just spoke. But in order for him to speak, he had to see something different. He had to see outside of his tent, outside of that natural physical realm. We have to see beyond that. And that's up to us to choose. To say, all right, you're telling me to claim this territory. You're telling me to reclaim this land. And this is what I see. So Holy Spirit, would you please show me God's view? Will you please take me out of the limited realm, the limited view, and show me God's view? And will you help me to believe you in this? Help me to take action. Ephesians 4, or Hebrews, actually, I think is next, Hebrews 11, yeah. this is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith, we understand. And understanding is embedded in what we see, our perceiving, and our imagination, and our spiritual, our divine, that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made of what was visible. Was not made of what was visible. Right? So, what we see didn't come from what we see. It came from what we can't see. So, we pull from the invisible realm. It says every heavenly blessing has already been, every spiritual blessing has already been provided in the heavenlies. But we do have to pull, see, pull from that realm and push it here. Right? It's already there. As Byron was saying as well, right? It's already there. It's already been done. But we need to agree. We make a decision. We agree. And then we speak in agreement with that. Yes, Ephesians 4, and this is 4:17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live lives as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. That's limited thinking. That's thinking that only sees and focuses on what is seen. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. See, it's a hardening of heart that would cause us. See, hardening of heart makes it impossible to hear God. So we won't seek him, hardened heart, won't hear him. You say, well, I can't hear him. That's a hardened heart. That's unbelief. That's, I can't believe what he's telling me. That's hardened heart. We can't live we can't live connected with God and with understanding with that. So it's not using our minds, and that word vanity of their mind, if the futility converts to vanity of their mind, and that's not using the minds. That's the mind not having a dwelling place. The dwelling place of our mind needs to be in Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, he says, let this mind be in you. It's the mind of Christ. That's where the dwelling place of our mind needs to be. So, so we need our mind to understand. Yeah. And when we do that intentionally by making the decision, my mind will understand. That's the spirit of understanding. My mind understands because I have the mind of Christ. Yeah. And that is also a decision. How about you? Yeah. So let's go to Numbers. Yeah, Numbers 13. We're going to walk through the Lord said to Moses, send some men. So the first thing, what he does is he sends us out to explore. He sends us out to explore the territory, right? He's saying, okay, I've given you this land. So he sent them, he said, send men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm given to the Israelites from each ancestral tribe, and send one of its leaders. And go ahead. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season of the first fruit. Now again, what determines our seeing? It's our heart. So it was going to be the heart that was going to determine what they saw. But he was giving them the choice. Thank you. He was giving them the choice of whether or not, of how they want to see these things. Okay? And so go ahead to the next. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Imon, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Thank you. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried on a pole between them along with some pomegranate and figs. Go ahead. And that place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes. That's right, it's cut off there. So at the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And there they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. And so this is the account. And so I want you to really, again, be thinking about what's the account? Based on our hearts, what's the account that you have? Whatever the territory or land that he said for you to take, what's the account that you're given? Because, number one, he sends us to explore the land. That's the first thing that happens, is going through some steps. He sends us to explore the land. And then we get to decide, based on our hearts, what we see. They said, "We went into the land to which you send us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites living in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people. Now, they were glorifying defeat. And with their tongues, right? "No, I know that you told us to go and take that, but this is..." And it was too much for just them. So then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Now, he saw the same thing, but he had a different perspective. His heart was soft to God's voice. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. What is the land that God's calling you to take possession? Is there something that your heart is saying, that looks stronger? That's bigger than me. That's too big. That diagnosis is stronger than God. That financial situation no way, that's too big. The joblessness, whatever it is, this relationship, there's no way that can be restored. What is it that looks too strong? They said, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they'd explored. They spoke it, and then they spread with their mouths the bad report. And they said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." Then all the congregation raised their voices and cried out, and the people wept that night. And all the Israelites murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Oh, that we had died in the land..." Now, complaining, "Why is the Lord bringing us to this land of Canaan to fall by the sword? Our wives and children would become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said one to another, "Let us appoint a new leader and return to Egypt." They were complaining and murmuring, and then they were so afraid and agreed with that fear and said, "Well, I know. let's get a new leader. Let's get someone who won't push us into this uncomfortable. Sometimes God pushes us. You know, sometimes he says, yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. And actually, that's where the growth is. Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. You say, oh, no, no. Can we? Is there another plan, though, God? I don't think I'm hearing you. Why are you being silent? There must be another plan. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the Israelites, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes as a sign of grief. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land through which we passed as spies is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. So, and they said, only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said to stone, Joshua and Caleb with stones. So, essentially, right, so, how long, then the Lord said to Moses, and the story, and I'll just kind of wrap up the story, but basically, they couldn't, other than Joshua and Caleb, they chose not to believe. And therefore, we know what happens at the end is that none of them, God said, they can't receive and inherit the promised land, except for Joshua and Caleb, because they were able to see and believe. The point is, so we get to, God sends us to explore the land, and he's sending today, right now, he's saying, yeah, you explore the land, the territory that I'm calling you, Scott. Look at it. Survey it. Yeah. And then when you survey it, then you decide. You decide, Helen, how you're going to view it. Right? You get to decide. And that's based on what's in your heart. Right? You get to decide what you're going to see.
That's right.
Right? And then when you decide what you're going to see, and it's based on, and it reveals to us, it's okay, but what we see reveals what's in our heart, what is stored up in our heart. If we can't see God's view, then we know, okay, it's fine. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to see, because there might be some doubt, there might be some unbelief stored up there. It's okay, that's not going to be the stopping point. Help me in my unbelief. Heal me, Holy Spirit. And then guess what? We reap what we perceive. Okay? Perception and perceiving is a form of sowing. We sow with our perceptions, with what we see. And so then we reap what we perceive. We reap what we see. So what are we seeing? What are we? And then we choose whether we're going to be, our perceptions actually choose whether we're pleasing, whether we're going to be pleasing to God, or whether we're testing him. They tested him because they couldn't believe what God said. That tests God. There's nothing that pleases God more. In Hebrews, it talks about faith pleases God. Believing what he says pleases him. We all like to be believed, but God, since he's the God of the universe, the creator, he's always true and he's always right. He doesn't lie. And then our words line up. Our words support. Our words reveal what we believe. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I challenge and invite you today to partner with the Holy Spirit in exploring the land, in surveying the land that he's calling us into, making the decision to only see God's view and to believe. So that's the perceiving, to believe what he says, to take action on that, because that determines. So belief is, we know what we believe by what we speak, but then also by what we do. It reflects what we do. So, and then make the decision. And then we get to decide whether we're going to reap, whether we're going to reap the promised land and his promises or something else. I believe everyone in here is reaping, is choosing to reap the promised land with our beliefs and our decision and with the help and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. God bless. Let me pray. Let me close in prayer. And so, God, thank you. Thank you, God, that you are a God of invitation. That you are always inviting us into the more, that you're inviting us into higher and deeper, and that you don't just invite us and send us to the wilderness alone, but you go with us. You go before us. You go behind us. You've already been there. You've already done it. And so I thank you for inviting us even into this partnership of reclaiming the land and reconciling the territory of our spheres of influence, starting with us, reconciling it back to you. And with agreement and empowering us as we step into that to know that we've already won, that we've already been victorious, that we've already overcome, and that we've already been given the promised land. You had already given it over. And so we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. And I just pray that you anoint, Holy Spirit, the eyes of every person here to see, not from this limited perspective, but from yours, that you anoint the ears of every one of us to hear, and that you anoint our hearts to understand, and you continually release your fresh oil and your rivers of living water, that we would go forth and reclaim the land without toil, from rest, and in peace and joy. And we pray this in your Son, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.